to episode number 4. Today, we're again in the mobility track. The second time, we talk a little bit about the topic of mobility in the context of XR. And Rolf, who do we have for this topic today?
I'm really thrilled to announce that after Björn from Lufthansa, we had last time, we were so happy to get today Jan Pflüger on board in our show. He's not only some activities around Audi, but he is, I think, one of the German persons very known in the XR industry. If you want to understand exactly what else he's doing, I would recommend read his LinkedIn profile. I will not introduce it in detail because I'm so nervous that I make something wrong. I will simply say, Jan, please come to our stage today.
Ooh. Hey, thank you, Seven Roll, for this warm welcome. Great to Perfect. Be here and looking forward to a great conversation.
Okay. Great. Please feel free to take a seat. So, Jan, short introduction by yourself.
A few words about me and my background. And I'm a designer by heart. That's my main profession. That's where all the things started. And this is also where I had a chance to figure out the early days of VR. So I have a long-term history in VR to figure out there is a space behind the screen, and this space needs also to be designed and created. And I have several stations in my career, also doing some research in how to interact in space, so spatial interaction devices, stuff like that in the early times. And I'm really thankful that one of the colleagues, Mario, paved the way for me and opened up this space, because since then I'm also addicted to VR, AR, all things we have right now, and we will talk probably today, started with this interest that there is something to create behind. And as a designer, I'm always curious what's next, and I'm also curious how can technology help us. And it was obvious I'm also need to have a deeper look into how to create this fancy content we have today. So I work for a company called Realtime Technologies, famous at this time for real-time content, point-of-sale systems, the first car configurators. And so it comes that I ended up at a German OEM and started there as a lead of a team for virtual validation. Means all the things, not having hardware for prototyping, all the tools, workflows, and systems and projects in that area. At this time, it was an expert area. It was really, you have these big power wall machine rooms, all these control stuff style of VR. Completely different to now how it looks like nowadays. But this was my starting point. And when I entered this field and the first headsets arised, there was a need to change things and also to enable people to use this kind of technology. And this was the point where I was lucky enough to have the support and establish the center of competence for augmented and virtual reality. And we were acting as a kind of in-house consultancy for all the different departments, from design to planning to marketing, sales, after sales, and doing all these great introduction stuff together. Still some projects are coming out of this phase, and my focus nowadays is on the design area, the early stage of the development product process, and this is where I am. And besides that, you mentioned it, I have several other activities with Advise XR. I'm supporting startups, the community. I'm also involved in different different activities and different events, supporting there as a judging member or whatever is needed. And I'm always curious to learn and what's happening outside, and stay up to date. That keeps me alive.
Oh, cool. And I'm very happy that you found time to be here. Huh? And now everybody understand why my introduction was very short. I couldn't do it better. So perfect. Thank you. It was brilliant.
Crazy history. Jan, as you're so long into the sector of XR, VR, what are you using personally? Are you playing games on VR? Are you glad to have the headset not on your head? What's your favorite app currently? How is it affecting your personal life?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, of course, I differentiate between being at work and having professional headsets at hand and doing some simulation stuff or things like that. But in my private life, I also use common things like the Quest. And there was a big moment for me where I figured out the potential for me in a private life. It was when the pandemic started. How to connect with people. Mm-hmm. And VR headsets gives a great opportunity to meet people in space, have some presence. The same thing here. We are present here in one room. We can collaborate. We can exchange with each other. And so I'm playing games, but I use playing games also for having some exchange with friends worldwide about also professional topics. And we also met on the golf course, for example, first time.
Correct.
And this is, I use that for having meetings, having exchange, meeting people, table tennis, whatever is there. But some kind of presence exchange and also some working places. Design validation for my stuff at home as well. And yeah, as mentioned, in professional life, I'm using all kind of headsets and AR devices.
Okay, so it has really got into your daily life, the headset. So maybe not on a daily basis, but how often would you say you use it in, or how often do you have a headset on?
Currently, it's really nearly daily because the evening mini golfing course exchange or something happens every day. But yeah, there are some breaks and interruptions. Some days I'm not working with VR headsets on, but it's on a regular basis. Also developing new kind of simulations, you need to have these tools at hand. You cannot do it on a theoretical base, so you need to practice and experience it by yourself.
Cool. Very cool, because usually we know or we learn that people have those headsets. Maybe they got into, for example, fitness or gaming, but often they just use it for work or just use it for their private life. And as you have such an history in VR itself, then it's quite interesting to see that it's affecting both of your career path and your personal life. And it's a device that can be used on a daily basis, and you simply have to get used to it.
Yes, you have to, and you also have to identify your personal benefits. And for me, I believe in my network. I have a strong network, and there are a lot of great people. You cannot travel or wait 6 months until another event happens to reconnect. This is the easiest way. And you're working the most of the time in front of a traditional screen. So I'm still not an owner of an Apple Vision Pro, which probably replaces the MacBook in front of your head. But so why should I steer or should look into my screen just to meet people again? So this is way better to interact, have some common space. And this is a big benefit for me.
I really like the sentence "he don't have yet." So it sounds like you're sitting already in the plane on the way to US to get the headset. But this would be a real fun part. Right now, nobody knows where you are as long as you have an internet connection. And this is, I think, something you clearly highlighted is finding your personal or business benefit. And I think this is very interesting. And as you mentioned already, a lot of stuff. Do you have maybe a good example for our audience of a good example where you say XR in the broad of business is a good example where you say, wow, without we couldn't do it? And also maybe a biggest fuck up, if I can say this, where you say this was a time or an experience where you say, oh, never do this because it's not worth doing it, or less big lessons learned you want to share with us?
Okay. It's a little bit difficult for me. Wow moments, let's come back to that. Probably it's I'm too much into my own bubble for a long time. So I have some images in my head where it's more about emotions created with these kind of technology. One of the starting points, long, long years ago, there was Easy Powerwall set up, and projectors called Liesegang. You may remember this traditional brand. You found it in school. So with this kind of projectors, you have a stereoscopic power wall, really an easy setup. And when I was training or learning programming language, which is also outdated nowadays, one of the learning projects was I was doing Pong for the Powerwall. So we have this easy Powerwall, a prop in your hand, and you can play Pong in space in front of a Powerwall. What happened is that my my junior was really bumping into the wall, and not only him, other people as well. So I know, okay, hey, even if the setup in the room is so small and so easy, the immersion works. So immersion helps people, and you can use exactly these space. This was the first moment I said, okay, it doesn't need much, but you need to do it in a good way to interact. And of course, the second wow moment was, for me, is always seeing other people experience what you have done. And I had a chance to work on the concept car last year, the Active Sphere, where we use AR technology for the user interface, and seeing people experience it first time and see how fascinated they are, and getting these fascination also back as a feedback, because you are always too close into it. This is for me also a kind of confirmation that this technology has the potential also to bring emotions into our daily life. For sure, we have a lot of other examples in using it for workflows, for quality assurance, for the training stuff. Sorry. And this is the traditional, I guess, the traditional stories everybody on the manufacturing side will tell you. Fuck up moments. Yes, there was a big learning. I don't say it's a real fuck up, because I do not app development and it and crashed and things like that. But one of my first entry points was having a project in an enterprise environment. And I'm convinced of the technology, what the technology can do to improve workflows and all these stuff. And I prepared everything from a project point of view, and realized that I thought, okay, this is obvious. This technology will help us improve, and everybody will agree, and it will happen. But totally underestimated that we are talking still with people. People need to accept changes. First, change is not only technology, it's about changes. If you come over with new technology, improving workflows, doing things they never did before, there is a kind of distance to it you need to overcome. And then you also need to understand how these companies usually are managed, how the hierarchical influence, how politics works, this change on mindset. You need to create all this stuff upfront before you come out with new technology or new solutions using new technology. And this was my biggest learning at an early stage, bumping into walls, thinking, okay, what's wrong here? It's obvious, but it's not acceptable. So it took 7 years after that to finalize it.
But I think this human part, we are all human, and this change is something you're not the first who's saying. And I'm really glad that most of the time people are, yeah, having the same experience. So we just have it in mind when you start with XR project to make sure the people are on board and you bring them that they see the technology not as a fear, that they really see it as a helpful tool.
Let's talk a little bit about the topic of mobility, because what drives me around a little bit is that you have on the one hand, you have new technologies, new communication technologies, XR, in the future, the metaverse, where people can meet, where they can do business, where they can spend their time in, have holidays or something else. And on the other hand, we have the physical presence where we actually still live in and hopefully will still live in the future, where the physical mobility plays a part. And in the mobility sector, we see a lot of, let's say, diversification, a lot of innovation in different types of mobility. We see more bikes, e-scooters, and flying cars and so on. As you are on the, let's say, forefront of the design, what do you expect mobility to become in the next couple of years? Let's maybe start with the physical one.
Oh, that's difficult, especially if you talk about the next couple of years. What I learned is that we are talking about really long-term processes and long-term changes. So we are referring to the different kinds of mobility solutions we have right now. We have these kind of last mile solutions, electric scooters, whatever. We have still the individual traffic. We have more solutions. You're also probably referring to things like concepts for Hyperloop and so on, which are great. But honestly, this is all for me referring to a topic which includes smart topics, smart cities. Smart cities, that's great because it's a big space also for using XR technology. But we are in Europe in a special condition. We cannot build new cities out of scratch. We have existing infrastructure. We have to deal with that. So what I'm not predicting the future of the next few years, because what is necessary for changing the mobility sector here is having an integrated system. So integrate all these mobility solutions into one mobility solution for you, and being able to respect the individual needs with the capacity can offer in your environment. That means you need to have connected systems. So we are talking about a big ecosystem of mobility. And having that in mind, you open up a lot of space, because if you then combine automated vehicles, automated public transport, having last mile still included, or individual traffic, if you can orchestrate all these individual things in one common system, you can also reduce the space you need for this kind of transportation. You know that we have a lot of space every day, which is only used a few hours, and the rest of the day it's just an empty space and not creating quality for us in the cities or outside cities. You can orchestrate all these things, putting cars automatically in storages, and but you need to make cities smarter than smart, even a bit, or especially when you have this existing infrastructure. Why I'm saying I do not see it in the next few years, it's traveling with Deutsche Bahn, and you see there's still a bit in one system, there are still gaps. So, and this is really a big challenge. I hope that AI will help us a little bit more in solving these and coming closer to a mobility ecosystem. And what kind does XR, or what role does XR plays in that? So XR will be the same as for a manufacturer. For the planning, for the first sketches, for the integration, can be really helpful to deal with all this information and data, but also to guide the end user, you as a client then of a mobility solution, with your individual transport system or with your individual mobility. So you have the back-end planning and the front-end using XR and interface to it.
Okay.
If I'm talking too much, please interrupt.
No. It's okay. And I just want
quite interesting viewpoints. Yeah.
I want to understand your perspective. So, meaning, for example, having, for example, an AR glasses on your head, which has the mobility provider's app on it, for example, will then be basically the guide that brings you from the last mile solution to a long term and so on, and handles all the topics like the traffic light. Basically, it doesn't need to be physically there. It just need to be have a communication to whoever is in queue to come next or something. Yes. And basically, this would be the thing that has to be achieved before we see all these stuff really working well together.
it's not only that, just a part of it. So thinking in a project structure. So as a project manager, you always deal with this threefold of cost, time, and quality. You are in a need to getting from A to B, and now you can select the preferences. Do you have more time? Probably less costs. Do you have less time? Probably more costs. Do you have more quality? And dependent on your needs and your requirements, a complete end-to-end mobility solution will be calculated. Also referring to the capacity, what is available, how things are, and reserve the last mile mobility, all these things. But you need to find it, because it's not a traditional, I need to go to the train station, I know exactly where the place is. You will be guided individually every time.
Mm-hmm. And how do you see, let's say, maybe not the last mile, more the longer travel times? How do you see that, or the user experience that will be in those time periods? Because obviously, I think we will always have a certain time that we spend traveling. As soon as all this stuff becomes autonomous and driving yourself or just sitting in the train, then I guess you as a human want to spend your time with a certain value, and the value is basically up to you. For you, the value, if it's entertainment, if you want to work or whatever. But how can you imagine the journey, how this changes in the development, or in the next couple of years?
As you mentioned, autonomous means that I'm not longer involved in taking care of how I'm getting from A to B. So this is this also creates a kind of space around you, and it's called an experience space. Even a car is heading to an experience space, because now it's not only the purpose driving and having some stuff with you. It's as you mentioned, how to use the time, and so I expect that you are able to use in driving or in systems as well. As you mentioned, entertaining is already some examples out there. I guess work is also doable. Reserving some spots for meetings while driving. All these will be possible, and this is not too far away. It's still something to do, and we have still to talk about interoperability and standards and all these things. Bandwidth is a dependency we have, especially in Germany. But these are the things to come. How far it will go regarding and creating an individual experience, which is then my expectation. Because we are talking then more or less about autonomous mobility platforms. Our brand create an experience for me that I feel comfortable using these kind of mobility platform. This will be the differentiator in the future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, I think, just when you said like entertainment or work in the mobility environment, like in cars, this year CES, it was really interesting to see that the car from Sony has outside displays for also promoting movies. So it's not only inside the interactivities, but also outside. So when they stay somewhere, and I love that your concept of virtual traffic lights, when you stay in there, the car still can communicate with the people outside. So it's not only one person involvement, it's like really being trying to be the maximum of the way from A to B for passenger inside, but also for outside in all regards of communication. I don't want to see the bill when you hit while parking the screen, then I don't want to see this one, but I really like the idea of saying the car is not becoming just a car, it's like a multi-platform for all type of new potential business environments.
Totally agree. And we are talking about the physical mobility currently, moving us physically from A to B, or goods or whatever from A to B. So there is still some physical framework needed. But this framework is part of the real life, and the real life will more and more influence the virtual content in the future. So, of course, it needs to be integrated somehow.
To dive a little bit into this, as you are very old in VR business, and for you, it's quite common.
I'm very old. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, completely right.
Gave you the hand to say experience. Okay, he's old. So let's stay.
Yeah, no, I'm old. Sometimes I'm feeling very old. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. For me, the question is, because I think a lot of people are still in fear that the virtual realities will take over and keep us apart and our society, and have a kind of fear. And without judging it, I just would like to hear your opinion, your personal opinion. Do you see this? Is there a reason for a fear, or do you say, no, the way I'm living it is totally...
I can't say it should be a fear. And there is no reason for any fear, because you are still in your real life. So what happens here is just an enhancement. It enhances your real life. It enables or gives you possibilities you never had before. As mentioned, I was able to meet great people from all over the world I would never have met in real life, and get their perspectives, get an exchange. So it's for me, it's an enhancement, having these kind of possibility just to jump in wherever you are and jump in, sharing a space, sharing experiences, and also having we have this conversation right now. It's you are here. I can see you. Yes, you can say, okay, but your emotions, and if you cannot, you do not have everything, but the immersion, as mentioned, it does not need much to be immersed. And having you talking here next to me, I know the sound is coming from the left side. So I have a look at you and I feel just presence. And this is the main thing. Also, what we are currently doing in most cases is it's a small transition. These virtual worlds are more or less corresponding to our 2D worlds. It's needed to bring people in to avoid these kind of fear too fancy things. It doesn't work. You are not used to work with different things here. You need to have some familiar aspects as well. What I really like is that in the virtual world, we also do not have any dependencies. So we can, beyond the physical borders, we can use the space. We can create a lot of things. You can do a lot within virtual spaces, either for you alone, if you're creative people, or together. I can think this togetherness in a virtual space is the biggest benefit having in mind for a normal life, not for business.
Mm-hmm. Maybe just follow that a little bit. How would you see, let's say, not only mobility, but all devices currently have displays, or they need to have an app that you can control them. Do you see that most of the devices will have, let's say, a display independence, so that they have basically a virtual display with all the software and all that stuff in it, so that it's not longer, let's say, one specific device and then maybe a software layer on top, that it's a separate thing? Or do you think that this will still be somehow from the same vendor? Maybe it will be for a longer period of time.
I'm not sure if I got you right. So you mean that we have a kind of a generic access to virtual worlds?
Let me try to paint the picture with a car. For example, we talked in the beginning, if the city needs to become smarter, so then I'm, as an individual, I have somehow my own device that is part of, let's say, my identity. I'm going through all these mobility aspects and all through the smart city. Yeah. So basically, I'm hopping from device to device and catching up the apps. And I don't know, you have so many apps currently on your smartphone. It's a hassle to have them all under control.
So, yes.
And if I would imagine this kind of world, then I would think that if I'm, for example, standing on an e-scooter, I will probably, my headset will connect to an e-scooter and will show up a display with all the features that the e-scooter has, for example. If I go into a car, I would have the same with all the dashboards and so on. And therefore, for me, there rises the question, will be then the, let's say, the device technology layer, will there be a split? Currently, you have a car, and all the stuff that's happening in the car is designed and created by the OEM. Mm-hmm. But will it somewhere split into, you have a software vendor and you have a platform provider, for example?
Now I get you. So to your first point, managing the apps, I guess there are some tools now outside using it to manage it for you. So you have this kind of seamless experience, even using several apps for one purpose. So I'm looking forward to have this assistant with me. Hope I get it soon. But coming back to your question, yes and no. So what is the interest of what is interesting? Of course, you should have your glasses, or you should have this hardware layer working for everything. So not switching the glasses, entering the car, you need to have the glasses of the car, and go outside, you need to have other glasses. Makes absolutely no sense. Makes also no sense for any manufacturer. So it needs to be integrated. Depending on what kind of experience you want to offer, the experience could be different. So a brand could offer a different experience for their own platform than another brand wants to offer for their platform. The thing is that we need a common layer that all these things can communicate with each other. And this is a kind of a neutral layer, which interoperability and standards are a big topic. And this is the reason why, because otherwise it will not scale. And you will always stick in your bubble. And this is not a, this is why we are still there where we are, still in a ramp up phase. And it's not scalable. Differentiator is the experience you can offer. And so I'm for sure, I guess, as a company, you have an interest to offer a special thing for your customers and to connect your customers in that way. But the connection nowadays is about the content and experience and not as much as with the hardware.
Yeah, and I think this closes the loop to your statement on the beginning. The human factor is important, because if it's not as user-friendly, you will have a big blocker that people are willing to. You mentioned it. You're looking forward to the app management, and you use the word assistant. I believe a lot of people directly say, "Oh my God, he's talking about AI." Yeah, but it's technically what you say. It's in a very simple layer. You need somebody who is managing it, because you do not want, the experience is not good if you have to manage. So you hope the technology is solving it by an assistant. An assistant doesn't sound frightened like AI. And I think this is exactly the way the people need to accept it, and the human needs to adapt it, and also be open to this new technology. And I'm still liking Zeb's idea of virtual traffic lights. You know, I can see a lot of people who say, "We want it, because then I can always pass and say there was no traffic light.
I just press the pay button. Pay.
Yeah, I have a software bug. It was always green. But you say it. Press the pay button. I will not think about. Yeah, if you be in a hurry, maybe there will be. Yes, you get a green light face to be quicker.
This is what I mentioned with the example. If you have a connected ecosystem and you select, this is the quality and cost factor.
Yeah.
Then your routing will be individually calculated by that. Yeah. And then you have the lights probably arranged or whatever. But okay,
But it's part of the mobility, and you mentioned it very clear that it's not like some years you're looking like the next 3-5 years, or it's like more the broader aspect of it.
It's interesting to see what happens with the Hyperloop, with the air mobility stuff. But as mentioned, it's everything. It's just in bubble and creating new infrastructure. You know how long it takes to build a motorway or something like that. Getting new infrastructure in Europe in existing areas. I will not experience it live, I guess. Need to deal with smarter systems and smarter solutions, and the connection between everything which makes sense is for me the first.
Okay. Yeah, I'm imagine we in Germany, we are especially good in building. I think it's always on time and it's always in budget. let's somehow go to the short term. Do you think, or not, you don't even think, because I know that you guys at Audi have been of a company that is providing entertainment XR for the mobility. And how do you expect, let's say, these mobile devices become more and more part of the in car, in flight, in train entertainment?
Yeah, as you mentioned, there is no prediction needed, because it's already there. And, it's there in a way that you can also equip other cars and even older cars with these kind of technology now. So you can use it nowadays. You see more and more in airplanes also can have these kind of experiences already. Mm-hmm. So it will come. The quality will improve more and more content. So having stable tracking on a moving device is moving platform is still some kind of challenging. So you have some limitations. You need to overcome that. But all these kind of services, are available if company decide to invest and the customer needs to the customer see a benefit in it. Besides that, you also mentioned the BMW case, but also driving experiences are now sold using XR. You can drive a real car and in a virtual world. Things we did in the past for simulating or making other systems experienceable. You will not have this in real life, but this is all already there. It's for us probably in a state we will use it, but for the end customer needs to be a little bit more polished, a little bit more progress, but it will come.
And I think this will be also go in hand with the comment that Björn mentioned on our last podcast, where he said, like, right now you have an in-flight, you have the monitor and you watch the movie, but he imagined if everybody has the device, you come in and it's connected to the transportation system, if it's a train, if it's a plane, or if it's a car, and then you get the content assigned to this mobility platform. So right now, everybody cannot imagine this phase, but everybody couldn't imagine 10 years ago, 15 years ago with a mobile phone. And now everybody can watch everywhere content, and it's so used, and nobody is sees it as a bad habit. Yeah, it's normal that wherever I am, I can watch my series, but they cannot imagine now that in a couple of years' time, everybody has a glasses device. And can do exactly the same thing. So yeah, you're right. It's here not right now, but maybe not ready for the mass yet. Let's see what the Apple headset is pushing this area, or if other devices popping up.
So it's for me, it's as mentioned at the beginning, I'm not that empathic about new stuff, but that doesn't mean that I'm not happy about it. So it's for me, it's the headset is a logical step. So it's not adding that much new of technology, because you have already video see-through devices, and we also have it in production, things like that. But it shows that there is a big interest in developing the ecosystem behind. And if you have a look at what Apple did in the past, what acquisitions they did, related to creating content for these worlds. And this is the critical factor. Why should I put technology on my head? For what reason? If there is no content or nothing which gives me more than I have today. So you need to have both sides as well. So for me, it's a great learning phase. I guess they will polish their Vision OS system, selling these headsets. And then we expect all the glasses coming from different providers. We will see.
Yeah. I'm waiting to get my one in real life.
Jan, I think my last question, what would you recommend any business, doesn't matter if small or large enterprise, today, which technologies should they have an eye on? And which maybe, from your designer perspective, which developments should they keep an eye on and do not lose time and really invest somehow time, money, effort, a team or something in it to not get lost in the technology.
To not get lost, okay, that's the... How should I? I always feel lost.
In that You're place. Old.
Yeah, I'm because I'm old. I'm lost. So what is this AI doing? I'm afraid of it. Yeah. No. There are a lot of things coming, but I guess AI is one of the topics which is support. You with all the tasks you needed to invest a lot of resources and money in the past. But this
needs also that you have a proper architecture, software architecture, data management and data handling. I'm always referring to content because technology can be replaced, and then technology by itself is not an innovation. So it's how you use technology. And so I always try to be hardware agnostic as long as possible. But there's the reason using devices, using technology. You should be aware what is the reason for the why should we do this. And then you need to make sure that you can provide the content and scale. And so most starting with a kind of a showcase, but this is boring because the showcase is done with a lot of manual effort and money. You have a one-time shot, and this is great. Great story behind. But if you want to implement and create business cases around, then you need to streamline it, and you need to create your pipelines. You need to have where are your assets coming from? What is your asset generation process? It's also happening a lot in that area. So I guess sooner or later we will take AR or we create AR content as we do a snapshot with our phone today. All these things you have to keep in mind. What is your data? What is your unique approach? And the playout part, how to get it out. I think this is at least the question which is still open. Keep in mind, we are here, we are very spaced, but we are still few people having headsets, using headsets every day. So not everybody out there is already equipped with the glasses, with headsets. So we still on this ramp up phase. So another advice is just be patient. Do not expect a hockey stick growth from now, and also the Apple Vision Pro will not the holy grail for scalability, but it is an entry point.
So if I make now some bullet points from what I've learned today, is try to be interoperable. So try to get a developer stack or the team of developers in your company that help your products, help your infrastructure to become interoperable with all the applications, all the APIs that you can provide to others or to yourself. Create a great customer experience. Think from the content side, from the user side, what can you provide them? Do not leave them out, and do not go too much on technical specifications, because you can do a lot of stuff in the future with basically the right customer journey or the customer experience. And obviously then you have to keep an eye on the technologies that are basically always ahead, especially try to automate, integrate AI, and keep an eye on the glasses so your product does not disappear from this planet.
And I want to add one bullet point, which Jan just mentioned at the end, is be patient. So if you as a company think, if you enter this game now, the hockey stick will not come immediately. But everything is ready that the growth and the adoption is coming. So it also matches a bit what we already said in the past, where also Leslie in our first call mentioned, start now, don't wait. But I think it's a good one. Everybody is saying, start now. And you clearly say, yes, start, but don't expect a big hockey stick. You need to be patient. You need to learn. And the technology will evolve. And maybe one day the technology is ready to provide what you need. And you can learn a lot at the beginning. So it's a great summary and a great learning also from my side here today. And this is your content, which you have provided, which is the important thing you also mentioned.
Thank you very much. And thank you for the great summary.
The last question I have, because a lot of things, so I don't ask you about, please paint the picture what you think in 10 years, because you have already clarified this. I don't need to ask you if you use the device privately or business, already covered it. The only question I have is, How many hours a day are you using it? Because I think people are a bit nervous outside that you are living in the glasses. And I'm interested also to hear, can you say it in a daily hour or more in a weekly hour? How many hours per day?
Currently, it's I guess it's at least 2 hours a day. I'm in some eruptions for on an ongoing base. Some days it's more, some days it's just an hour having an exchange. But the glasses or the headsets we have currently, they are not intended to be worn 8 hours a day and replacing the reality out. It's for a dedicated use case. I want to meet there. I want to work and I want to collaborate. All these things, and then you have the tools at hand. And,
perfect. So I think we'll also help. Yeah, so, we'll also help the people outside who are nervous and see this as a threat. It's not 24/7. So relax. It's a reasonable number, and I think in video conference people spend much more time in front of their PC, right?
It's 2 hours less on your screen time than on your phone and on your laptop.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But don't tell this anybody. Don't tell this anybody.
Nobody heard it.
Yeah, perfect. So I must say I got a lot of information. I'm done from my side, Seb. Do you have anything?
Yes, I have, because I think Jan has not only a lot to say about the mobility side, it's a little bit about the advisory side on the XR. Maybe you can tell us a little bit, when should we contact you? What are you providing for information? And do you help also not only startups, but also companies to get in this topic? Maybe just a little excourse.
Excurse on that, yes. So as it is a side business, I will keep it very simple. For startups entering the market or have a product idea, I usually support from the stage, because I can then give a little bit insights how the industry is working, how the expectations are there regarding what means integration, approvals, and all these cycles. And also, I saw a lot of applications, a lot of hardware in the past decades. So probably can also give some advice. But the most thing I'll do is call the right people. So sometimes you see there's a startup or some idea, they have an idea, but it's not an end-to-end solution because there's a gap in the middle. But I know, okay, there's another one exactly filling in these gaps. So I am connecting people means creating or making 1 + 1 = 3 and not 2. This is what I provide on a daily basis. And of course, everything which has to do with XR and how to improve in the industry. I'm always open. I'm also have some talks with the industry there, having new ideas or some new concept at hand. And there are some companies. I'm also doing some content work and working on the future mobility on the water, for example. Autonomous boats, zero emission autonomous boats, stuff like that. So keeps me alive, and that's how things go. If you ask me for last advice, I would say always be curious and open, and collaborate.
Great last words, and we will make sure that your LinkedIn profile is in our podcast description, so in case you want to reach out to Jan, that you easily find it. So thank you for your time. Thank you that you have joined our lovely podcast studio, and looking forward to maybe meet you on a virtual golf course or in another session in the near future. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was great. Thank you, Zeb.
So, thank you, Rolf. Thank you, lovely audience.
Bye-bye.